Anti-war protesters impeded rush hour traffic this morning in Washington and in San Francisco. There were demonstrations in other cities. NPR's Richard Gonzalez is in San Francisco. Sounds like things are still underway there.
That's right, Bob. I'm standing at the corner of Market Street and Beale, about three blocks from the Embarcadero. And the police have arrested a couple of dozen protesters, and they're planning to go after another group of protesters who are still occupying the middle of the intersection here. They've effectively shut down about two blocks of Market Street.
Was this well organized, or is this a spontaneous reaction to people when listening to the news and turning out?
This was more on the organized side, in the sense that this is long planned for the beginning of the hostilities. But what we do not see anything approaching the tens of thousands of people who were protesting here in October, in January or February. This is several hundred people, but they have broken up into small groups of people, swarming to about 20 different sites in the city, blockading office buildings and sidewalks, intersections, off ramps. And I understand there's a group of people headed for the federal building here in San Francisco.
So there are specific sites like government buildings.
Correct. And the sites of several corporate headquarters, such as Bechtel, and I was understood that some people wanted to go to Westinghouse, too.
Do you know of any other demonstrations that are planned in San Francisco today?
Well, I have the feeling that these people will be doing this all day. What you have are people who are willing to go from site to site to create some disruption. But I doubt that they're going to be able to achieve the main objective, which they stated would be to shut down the financial district.
Well, they may not be many in number, but they sound quite spirited there.
Oh, there's no doubt about that. I'm standing near a group of women who are holding giant paper mache, brown paper mache masks with black shrouds and robes, and they are representing themselves as mothers of people who are in harm's way. They've been marching around this area calling themselves We Are the Mothers.
NPR's Richard Gonzalez in San Francisco. It's been a day of extraordinary events as the U.S. began the war against Iraq. President Bush spoke to the country last night.
The people of the United States and our friends and allies will not live at the mercy of an outlaw regime that threatens the peace with weapons of mass murder. We will meet that threat now with our Army, Air Force, Navy, Coast Guard, and Marines, so that we do not have to meet it later with armies of firefighters and police and doctors on the streets of our cities.
NPR's Barbara Bradley Haggerty is here to bring us up to date on the day's events. Where do you want to start?
Well, why don't we start with the press conference that Secretary of Defense Donald Rumsfeld just had, along with the Joint Chiefs Chair Richard Myers. We just heard that this morning, of course, we know that this morning the U.S. launched 40 cruise missiles and dropped a number of precision-guided bombs at a senior Iraqi leadership council. Now, apparently, the military had intelligence about where Saddam and his top officials were meeting, and so they launched what they called a decapitation attack, trying to essentially lop off the head of Saddam's government. Now, 2 hours, and that's what really Donald Rumsfeld was talking about this morning. 2 hours after that raid, of course, Saddam Hussein appeared on state television, or at least it was a man who kind of looked like Saddam Hussein. The Pentagon is actually assessing whether that tape is real and trying to determine whether this was actually a double or if it was Saddam Hussein. So it's really not clear if the attack was successful or not.
There are reports of fires in oil fields in southern Iraq and Basra.
Right, that's true. There are reports that three or four oil fields near Basra were on fire. Secretary Rumsfeld said they're trying to verify that, but he suggested that this is something the Iraqis would try to do. Of course, that's what they did when they withdrew from Kuwait in 1991. They set oil fields on fire. It's also something we really want to avoid because we want to use those revenues to fund the reconstruction of the country after the war.
Now, what's been the reaction to the U.S. launch of a war against Iraq, a world reaction to U.S. action?
Well, it's been rather predictable, Bob. British officials have made statements defending the action. France and Russia and China have condemned it. Now, there's been some good news out of Turkey. After saying for some time that the U.S. could not use Turkey's airspace to fly over so that we could go into northern Iraq. They've now changed their mind. This morning, the parliament voted that, yes, American flights could go over Turkey. It's not clear, of course, whether this is going to get them the $6 billion that they want, but at least it's solace for the United States military.
Any use so far of chemical or biological weapons?
Well, at this point, the early indications are that Saddam Hussein has not used chemical or biological weapons. In response to an American attack on the attack this morning on Baghdad, Iraq fired several missiles toward U.S. troops in Kuwait. Now, immediately, of course, the soldiers put on their gas masks and they already had their protective gear on, but it appears that the Iraqi missile was not armed with chemicals of any sort. As we know, at least one of the missiles was intercepted by U.S. Patriot missiles before it landed. This is a big, big concern. This is what they're really concerned about. The U.S. believes that Saddam still has chemical and biological weapons, things like mustard gas and VX and anthrax, to name a few. And it's really one of the largest concerns as to whether they're going to use those chemical or biological weapons.
I wonder if there's a plan or whether you're in an ad-libbing situation at the moment.
Well, I think we are. In fact, one of the things that we should be looking at is whether Saddam is going to have a lot of trouble from his own people and his own army. Rumsfeld really urged both the army and the civilians to not cooperate with Saddam Hussein. And in fact, there have been some reports to U.S. reporters in Kuwait that there have been uprisings and anti-regime demonstrations in Karbala in the south. That's a key oil field area, and there are a lot of Shiite Iraqis there. And that there may have been some protests and uprisings also in the north. Karbala is in the north, also in the Basra area in the south. So it's going to be interesting to play out.
NPR's Barbara Bradley Haggerty, thank you very much.